8 games of hoops on a Thursday night. Defensive battle in LA. Giddy homecoming, and Memphis is officially in trouble. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Levi Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. Levy, we got a lot to talk about today. I want to start with Lakers-Rockets. I watched the end of that game. Lakers won, but it was a great game, mainly because LeBron and Luka, it felt like they were fine, I would say. And Dorian Finney-Smith, Gabe Vincent kept just hitting big shots. But the Rockets' defense, it just was, they were Dylan Brooks was swarming LeBron and Doncic. And Amon Thompson was blocking like insane shots. And I just felt like the Rockets' defense, like the Rockets are not going to be favored in basically any round two matchup, potentially not even a round one matchup, depending on who they play. But they are so scary defensively, it's going to be really hard to win a playoff series against them.
Such raw talent. Like, I was like, as I was watching, I was thinking the same thing. Like, Amon Thompson is such a rare, even, you know, even when you look at like Asar, he plays a different kind of basketball. He just feels like untapped potential. Like, he's going to round into form. But he's awesome on the defensive end. And I don't know if he's ever going to be a 25 points per game scorer or whatever. Like, I think the Rockets team is kind of figuring out exactly who's taking what shots.
Yeah, they're a super mix offensively. So just from their starters, Dylan Brooks took 14 shots. Şengün took 11 shots. Jalen Green took 13 shots. Amon Thompson took 14 shots. Fred VanVleet took 14 shots. And then if you want to get like the exact same thing, basically, the two bench players that actually played, not counting Steven Adams, Tari Eason took 11 shots and Jabari Smith took 10 shots. Super not clear who their guy is offensively.
Right, which is fine. It doesn't, you know, obviously it doesn't have to be. I just think that it's so interesting to me, usually when you have a Jalen Green on the team, for example, that he's obviously taking the majority of the shots, but it makes you wonder a little bit, like, it's the constant question of, like, is this team better without Jalen Green, like if they're able to do it more by committee. But again, on the defensive end, it's locked down. They have the identity and they look awesome.
Yeah, so I would just argue back and say their offense is not fine. They don't have an identity on offense. And like Fred VanVleet, if you know, he shot 214. So maybe Fred VanVleet shouldn't be taking 14 shots. That's the most shots taken on your team.
The easy fix for them in regards to the coming year is find somebody who's able to be a shot maker and distributor more effectively than Fred VanVleet. I think Fred VanVleet should stay there. Right now, he feels like the engine of the team, especially when he went out, if you remember. They kind of dipped a little bit. They just need somebody who's more reliable on the offensive end. Like, even Jalen Green is too inconsistent. They need somebody who's more reliable on the offensive end to handle the ball as a guard.
Yeah, people talk about the Spurs, but this is the perfect Kevin Durant location. Because they can make, the Rockets can make a decent trade for him where they're not losing their core. And then you just put this crazy defense with Durant's offense. That's like, you add Durant to this team and that's a Western Conference Finals team.
I think it might slow them down a little bit too much.
Maybe, but they'll get Durant.
I hear it. But I'm saying, I think that they can accomplish the same. Obviously not the same value, right? But I'm saying
this team is a destined first or second round upset. There's not
what with Durant. You're saying
no. This team right now.
Oh, you're saying to lose?
Yeah, like as much.
Yeah,
as,
for sure.
Like that's what I'm saying is they need a Kevin Durant type player. Like a Jalen Brunson wouldn't help them. They need like a big guy who can score.
I don't know about a big. They have so many wings. That's my problem. Like they don't even. They haven't even played Cam Whitmore. The guy is a guard forward. Who also does the same, he's a scorer. Again, Kevin Durant is a different story, obviously. I was trying to think of another guard who's available who would be more, more inclined to do this. Like, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but if they're able to get like a, maybe more like a Jaden Ivey kind of situation, like somebody who's able to be more of a combo guard, but able to score more effectively than Fred VanVleet, because they don't have to give up the whole kitchen sink for him. But he's coming off injury. I don't know. They just, like you said, they need to be more defined on offense. A few points in regards to the Lakers. LeBron James last night hit a LaMelo Ball 3. I don't know if you saw that.
A buzzer beater? What do you mean?
No, like he was literally walking towards the basket from the three-point line, like off of one leg, pulled up, swish. I think he's, like, remember when LeBron James like got good at shooting and everyone was like, whoa, LeBron James got good at shooting. And now he's like at age 40 just doing stuff like, it's just insane to watch. The Lakers are it's mind-boggling. Another thing was, always appreciate the Luka Doncic changing shoes midway through the game. having an off night. I always appreciate that tradition of players changing shoes. Just a random side note.
I love it, man. Next. Boston beats Memphis 117-103, and the story here is Memphis has just taken a turn for a worse. We've been talking about the seeding for a while, how it was a battle between the 2, 3, 4, and 5 slot. Well, now it's a battle between the 2, 3, and 4 spots and the 5, 6, 7, 8 slots. Grizzlies are the 5 seed, and they're 44-31, and the Clippers are 43-32 at the 8 seed. They are only one game behind the Grizzlies. They've lost 3 in a row. Their last 10, they're 3-7. Clippers' last 10 are 8-2. Minnesota's last 10 are 7-3, and they're the 7th seed and also one game behind the Grizzlies. And it's seeming like the Grizzlies are heading toward the play-in, which is crazy because it felt like right up there with the Houston at the 2 seed like a month ago.
I was listening to some of the analysis of the firing of Taylor Jenkins for the Grizzlies, and they made the note that the assistant coach that they now have as the main coach is the person who's system was put in place this year to reduce amount of ball screens that Ja notoriously likes. So it was just an interesting decision overall, and you can see it play out on the court that it's still not flowing well.
That was real inside baseball. Love that. We're talking about like screens now. Like, I love it. Yeah, it's a good take. Next. OKC wins 10 in a row, which is crazy. They might not lose again this season. They beat the Bulls 145-117. Josh Giddey homecoming, no tribute video, but he did get a nice cheer, and he did say hi to all the boys. Like, him and the OKC have a good relationship. I think that the Thunder are so good. Is that a crazy take?
You know, I haven't been hearing it, but now that you mention it, no. Yeah, what's crazy to see is just their consistency, honestly. I think that's what's still so fresh to see. I think that they're, like, kind of the same way that the Boston Celtics last year were, like, hungry, as a lot of people say. You know, like this year, like the Thunder are very hungry. Not that they weren't last year, but I think now they have also the talent to really go the distance.
SGA had 27 points and 12 assists. He was 9-14 shooting. He's their best player. Their second best player, Jalen Williams, was 23-4-3, 9-15 shooting. And you're like, oh, makes sense. They won. But then you look, their ninth best player, Isaiah Joe, had 31 points, 10-17 shooting. That's how they get these 145 points. They would have won without, you take off those 31 points, they still win.
That's what's also so beautiful about the Thunder is that they really know how to acquire talent and utilize them effectively. And it's so awesome to see because, like, you have all these players who are maybe supporting players or just not as valued on other teams. Like, Isaiah Joe was on the 76ers. This is 3 years ago now, whatever we're talking about. But immediately he went to OKC. You saw the three-point shooting. That Sixers team for the last 3 years could have used that three-point shooting so badly. They really needed that. And you know, even with Jalen Williams, I don't think that he would have been as effective on any other team that he went to. It's just so much fun to watch. Like, it really feels like this basketball is literally bringing the best out of every player.
Couldn't agree more. Next, Pacers beat the Kings 111-109. They came back down 16 in the second half. They win by two, couple of nice go-ahead threes. Nesmith scored 17 of his 24 points in the second half. Hoppin had 19 points. Haliburton, 18 and 11. I really like them. No real note, just two good games.
I had two notes. One is Haliburton in the last month. He's been awesome. Like, this is the Tyrese Haliburton that we've been waiting to see. To the point that it actually kind of doesn't matter who's around him in regards to who goes in and out of the lineup. Like, you just see that he's absolutely killing it. He's playing great. Obviously, the beginning of the season, like, I hope that this is the Tyrese Haliburton that we get for the rest of his career. You know, just this player who looks awkward. Austin Rivers notoriously hates his dribbling. They're the real deal. I don't think you'd want to see them in the playoffs. The second point is, who had on their bingo card for 2025 Obi Toppin, you know, playing like he used to play in college? Like, what is this? What's going on?
I added him as a Nick. I was upset we got rid of him. I had it on my bingo card is the answer. I loved Obi Toppin. I was upset we got rid of him. We traded him for 2 second-rounders. I hate second-rounders. I think this is the dumbest asset. You couldn't offer me 10,000 second-rounders for Jalen Brunson. Like, what are we doing here? I don't need 10,000 second-rounders. I don't need one second-rounder. Point is, I saw it coming.
But it's at the same time, though, I'm a little bit confused as to what he is as a player. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's 3-and-D that can drive.
I don't know about the defense, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't make, like, he's a big guy, doesn't really rebound. He has, like, crazy athleticism, you know? Uh-huh. I guess, I just look at, like.
He plays hard. which is what defense is.
Yeah, unless the defensive instinct
is
not quite.
The Pacers as a team don't play defense, but he played good defense for Tibbs. Like the Pacers as a team are their strategy, right, from Rick Carlisle is just we can outscore the other team. Next, Clippers beat the Magic 96-87. Clippers look great. Zubats, another loving Zubats this season. 18 points, 20 rebounds, 7 of 10 shooting. Love me some Zubats. For Orlando, they did only score 87 points, but Paolo and Franz have each scored 20-plus points for the 8th straight game. So that's pretty cool. They've just been scoring, but like the Magic's just not, their team is not what it used to be. Next, we're getting to that part. Charlotte beat Utah 110-106. Miles Bridges scored 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. I'll give you a nice little stat. Isaiah Collier for the Jazz set a new team record for most assists by a rookie in a season, surpassing, drumroll please, the great John Stockton, who had 415 assists. Isaiah now has 416 assists, which there's only one conclusion. Isaiah Collier is better than John Stockton. Statistically, he is. So that's super exciting to see. No other real notes on this game, you?
I just want to say I told you so.
Next. Heat beat the Wizards 120-94. Not surprised by that score at all. One interesting stat about this. Do you know the interesting stat of this game? Let's see if you know it.
No. I don't know.
Drum roll, please. Jordan Poole surpassed Bradley Beal to become the franchise leader in threes made in a single season with 224 tonight.
That made me think, by the way, two things. One is that Jordan Poole shoots a lot of three-pointers, which we know. And number two is that Bradley Beal did not shoot a lot of three-pointers.
No one ever has for the
Wizards.
I think we're going to start seeing this record be broken. Derek White, I didn't mention it, but Derek White broke it for the Celtics also now. Like Derek White has now made 46 threes for the Celtics, and that broke the record as well.
That's so interesting because that is not the person on the team that I thought would break that record. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it'd make much more sense to me if it was a Jason Tatum or a Peyton Pritchard or a Sam Hauser. Like, the fact that it's Derek White, which, I mean, he plays a lot of minutes for them, obviously.
Next and last game of the day. Nets beat Mavericks 113-109. It's their first consecutive win since the All-Star break. It was Gafford's first game back. Anthony Davis played. It was his first home game since being injured. Mavs underrated are 4-1 when Anthony Davis plays. Pretty cool stat. 4-0 before this game. So maybe they won the trade.
Maybe they won the championship. It's playing all against them.
Yep, we'll see what happens. But they lost and the Kings lost and the Suns didn't play. So now it's like really close again. The Suns are the 11th seed, a game behind the Kings who are the 10th seed and a game and a half behind the Mavericks who are the 9th seed.
One more point about the Mavericks.
Look at you with points about the Mavericks.
No, you're going to hate this point, so it's fine.
Yeah, wait. Should I try to guess it?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to try to guess it. One second. Let me look at the game. I'm going to guess like you're going to give me like a Kai Jones stat.
No, I'm going to go. This is going to be really inside baseball.
Yeah.
And a low-key impact player for them who has been playing very effective basketball, and I looked up at the last month, he's been scoring over 50% from the field, over 80% from the line, adding really like glue guy stats. Brandon Williams, MVP.
He didn't play
because he just finished the end of his two-way contract. The next time he can play is April 10th, and that's if he can make the roster for the playoffs for the Mavericks.
Why aren't they signing him?
They don't have the spots for it.
Oh, got it.
He lost his eligibility to play the rest of the games, so they only are able to sign him April 10th.
And that's the real reason they lost.
Yeah, no, but he's been an impact player for them in lieu of Kyrie Irving going out. He's been starting for them. He's been coming off the bench playing valuable minutes, playing good defense as well. Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't think is very consistent. Unfortunately, at this point in his career, he missed the game-tying shots. I don't think it's going to be the ultimate difference maker, but I think it is a low-key important player for them that they won't have until at least the 10th.
We got a Shams bomb. LeBron to retire at the end of this season.
Is that true? Are you serious?
Shams just tweeted.
There's no way.
April Fool's, my man.
Yeah, don't say that to me. Fools. That's not nice.
It's April.
He just got Luka.
I saw on my phone it was April 1st. I'm like, should I do an April Fool's thing? Okay.
Not nice. Not nice. Yeah.
That was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting and producing. And I want to thank you for listening.